heal. Amen. The bruised heel. Book of Genesis. Find this interesting story about the bruised heel. Adam's disobedience brought death upon mankind, but Jesus has conquered death for us. Genesis 3 and 15 is our verse today that we find these words and this thought from. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Amen. And then from Genesis 16, verse to verse 24, we have these body of our text. Unto the woman, he said, this is the Lord speaking, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, that's an interesting verse, and anybody, I guess, that's ever given birth to a baby can certainly attest to the fact that that's still with us. And that was a part of the woman's judgment for sin. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Now Adam's curse was that he was going to, the ground was cursed, and before this, apparently, stickers didn't grow like they do now. And careless weeds, Johnson grass, and all that stuff. But you got to fight now. If you're going to have a crop, you're going to work for it. Really hard. And but that wasn't so in the garden. If those things existed, they were held at bay, and they grew purpose and a portion, but not so anymore. You know, I read somewhere that I think it's the grass bird, that it has seed that'll come up for 7 years. If it can't come up 1 year, it'll come up the next year. If it can't come up for 7 years, it's going to lay there until it can come up. That's pretty strong. And one of these days it's going to come up. And so he said the ground's cursed for Adam's sin. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of it. Anybody got in a bull nettle? That'll get your attention, won't it? In West Texas, or South Texas, they had what they call cat claw bushes. You ever been in a cat claw? That'll get your attention. He'll grab a hold of you. Whew, it's rough. So there's some thorns and thistles still around, huh? Oh, yeah. 19. He said, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou be turned unto the ground, and for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. That's a good verse for us to remember. Don't ever get too lifted up. You know what you are? Dust. That's what we're from. We're all just glorified mud balls. That's all we are. So don't get to thinking too highly of yourself. God made you out of dirt, and you're going to go back to dirt unless you go in the rapture. That's the only hope. And then we're going to be glorified mud balls. Amen. And so God's going to do great things, but we've got to work with him and depend on him. Then verse 20, it said, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also, to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil, and now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Amen. Drove out the man and the woman. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Sunday school kid was drawing a picture. Sunday school class. He drew a picture of a car, and it had a man in the front driving the car. The back seat, there was a man and woman. And the Sunday school teacher said, "That's a neat picture. What is it?" He said, "Well," he said, "the front seat there, that's God. And who's that in the back?" He said, "That's Adam and Eve. God's driving them." So, so that was his conception of how God drove Adam and Eve out of the garden. That's a 20th century, or 21st century interpretation of Genesis chapter 3. Erickson wrote, "We do not realize how humanity has fallen until we try to crawl back. Since Eden, mankind has grappled with the many flaws of fallenness. The problems our imperfections cause us are unavoidable. People are universally fallen, and we live in a fallen world. The weather torments us, disease afflicts us, and the forces of nature destroy our creations. The fire burns and the cold freezes. The wood rots, the paint peels, and steel rusts. We have to overcome gravity from the time we get up in the morning till we lay down at night. Life can be hard and disappointments many. We are encumbered with shame, suspicions, anger, fear, and hate. Our lives are a constant struggle to achieve perfection, yet no one ever achieves it. We limp through life with a swollen heel and venom in our veins. Leaning on our crutches, we long for a better life. The fangs of Satan have left us bruised and handicapped, but not all our heels are bruised. Jesus Christ is the perfect one. His foot is perfect and unblemished, miraculously conceived, virgin born, and possessing divine pedigree. He came into our world with a redemptive mission and superlative credentials. And from the cross he cried, 'It's finished.' The veil was rent and his foot fell heavy upon that sordid serpent's head. It crushed beneath the weight of the Redeemer's wrath. The serpent squirmed in defeat as life ebbed away. Satan bruised our heel, but Jesus crushed the head of the one who deserves the lowly appellation, O Slewfoot." So God crushed the head. Amen. At Calvary, the heel of judgment came down upon the head of the serpent. Amen. And so I want to talk to you today about the bruised heel. Anybody got a bruised heel today? Have you ever had a bruised heel?
Yes.
What hurts, don't it? Every time you take a step, you're, I've had that happen and get an old stone bruise on the heel of your foot. Makes you limp. And all of us walk through life with limps. Every one of us. These first three chapters of Genesis really are an outline of human history. First three chapters. The first chapter is the story of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And everything we need to know that is important for us to know is there. Now, I know we'd like to flesh it out. We'd like to understand it better. And science has discovered many wonderful things about the creation. And we'll just continue to discover more. But it tells us the basics of what we need to know. It's all listed there in the first chapter. And then in the second chapter of the book, we began to see a few things that began to kind of creep in. Maybe things are not going as well as we thought they might. Because we read this, and the Bible said in the second chapter, the Lord forbade something of man. He said, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So there's a little bit of negative there. In the first chapter of Genesis, it was good and very good. Second chapter, God introduces a limitation. We're not good with limitations, are we? When somebody tells you, don't look, what's the first thing you're going to do? Going to look. If you see a sign that says wet paint, you're going to touch it. Somebody says, don't touch that, it's hot. Well, you got to make sure. Just us. God said to Adam, he said, in the middle of the garden, I'm going to put the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Don't eat of it. Because if you eat it, you're going to die. So, chapter 2, God introduces a bit of a limitation on man. And then in the third chapter, well, that's where Eden ends. And human history as we know it begins. Because in the third chapter is what we call the fall. Amen. Now, freedom to make a right choice is freedom to make the wrong choice. If you don't have freedom to make a wrong choice, you don't have freedom at all. It's not freedom, is it? If you can't make a choice, there's no freedom involved. So in order for God to give Adam the true sense of freedom, absolute freedom, he had to make sure that he could make the wrong choice as well as make the right choice. Now, otherwise, Adam would simply have been a puppet, just doing what God told him to do. And so God did put in the garden a choice that man had to make. Amen. Deuteronomy 30 and 19 said, therefore choose life. And Genesis 2 and 17 said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So there's two choices we got to make. We can choose life, or we can choose death. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again this morning. People wrongly assume that God will send people to hell. God doesn't send people to hell. We make that decision. You hear me? We make that decision. It's our choice what we're going to do. Don't blame God for your choices. Now, it's real popular in our culture to blame somebody else. It has become the mantra of our day to blame somebody else for everything. You never do anything. It's never your fault. It's always somebody else's fault. Well, I steal because I'm poor. There's always been poor people that didn't steal. You steal because you have poor character, because you're a thief. That's why you steal. Don't blame it on somebody else. Well, I didn't come up in a good household. There are many multiplied millions that didn't, that made something of themselves. But we as humans, we like to blame it on somebody else. Well, if you would have left the keys in there, I wouldn't have stolen this thing. It's your fault for leaving keys in it. Huh? Now, that shouldn't make you steal something just because somebody left keys in it. If it's not yours, leave it alone. But that's our culture, isn't it? And you know, the sad thing is there are lawyers that actually win cases on such flawed and foolish logic. I don't understand it, but it's so. Amen. And that's the world we live in. Isn't it interesting? But people have always made excuses. Well, we call it the fall. I've never seen anybody fall up, have you? I've always seen people fall down. You never fall up. You always fall down. Humanity did not fall up. They fell down. Amen. Adam and Eve did not fall up. They went down. And when you fall, it's always a downward direction. And so that's why we call it the fall. God created Adam and Eve for something much better than what they wound up with. He created them. This is just my thinking. I don't know how you would ever establish this. But after Adam sinned, I don't know how old they were. The Bible doesn't say when they sinned. But I know that Adam lived to be 930 years old. That's a long time. He lived almost 1,000 years. Why? Others of his generation, some live longer than that. Why? This is my idea. It's not proven. You can't prove it, or you can't disprove it. But I believe that Adam and Eve were created in such perfection, and the world was created in such perfection, that it took almost 1,000 years for them to die physically, because God made them so very perfectly. Adam and Eve were created for eternity. God didn't create them to die. He created them to live. God created them for dominion. God created them for victory. God created them to reign. They were a crowning achievement in His creative abilities. The Bible said that God made Adam and Eve in His very own image. I mean, He never created anything like them. Angels are great, but, you know, angels are inferior to human beings, at least in our glorified state. Once we regain what we lost in Eden, we'll be glorious. Right now, some of us are a mess, aren't we? But we're destined for greater things. God made us for greater things. And someday, we're going to regain that. The Bible said that we shall reign with Him as kings and priests. I don't know what you think you're going to do in heaven, but you're not going to sit, Brother Wesley, at the Crystal Sea with a fishing pole in your hand. I mean, I'd get bored to tears, and I can't fish very long now. I've been here in this glorious area surrounded by all these lakes. I went fishing one time for about 10 minutes. That's sad, isn't it? There's something wrong with that picture. Amen. Really is. But we're not going to be, you know, floating around on clouds and angels fanning us, dropping grapes in our mouth every now and then. You know, that would be so boring. I couldn't stand that very long. Amen. But we're going in heaven. We're going to have accomplishment. We're going to have position and authority. And you know you like that. You like to tell people what to do. Some of you can't even ride in a car without telling people how to drive. You're getting too close. You better slow down. You better speed up. Now you're going to be turning up here. That's fun, isn't it? Amen. Temptation and the choice. It's an interesting. I had a guy ask me, and of course we've all thought of this. Why did God create a tree called knowledge of good and evil that people couldn't eat of? Why did He do that? By the way, it's not an apple tree. They say that there was a scientist that went to great lengths to prove that apples will not grow in the Mesopotamian Valley where they assumed the Garden of Eden was, just so he could prove the Bible wrong. But he didn't read the Bible because it never said it was an apple tree. So all of his assumptions, don't use that apple, but the Bible doesn't say it was an apple. It said it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't know what it was. But God put a tree there. Why did He put a tree there? Well, again, if you can't make a wrong choice, then you don't have freedom to choose. Secondarily, why did God have to make it so attractive? couldn't he have made it ugly? Why couldn't he have made it something that you wouldn't want in the first place? Why couldn't he have made it sour and bitter? Well, then it wouldn't be much of a choice, would it? You know, it's not hard for me to resist things that are not attractive and that don't taste good. I don't have a problem with that. Amen. I mean, I wouldn't like M&Ms if they didn't taste good. But they taste good. Amen. God made chocolate to taste good. Well, I mean, especially after you put sugar and stuff in it. It's not so good in taste. But by the time you get it ground up and put sugar in it and all the other good stuff, oh, it's good. Cocoa butter and all the stuff that makes it good. But God put a beautiful tree, and then the scripture says that he put it right in the middle of the garden where they'd see it. It wasn't off hidden somewhere where it was hard to get to. He put it in a prominent place. Because God wanted Adam and Eve to know that you get to make a choice here. You get to make a choice. Amen. You get to make a choice. It's a privilege to make choices, isn't it? Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes we complain about having to make too many choices, but we really like to make choices. When you stand in front of your closet packed full of stuff and you have to make a choice about what to wear, that's better than not having to make a choice. Amen. If you just had one thing that you were already wearing, you wouldn't have to make a choice. You open the refrigerator and it's full of stuff, or open the cabinet and it's full of groceries, and you look in there and you think, oh man, what am I going to eat today? So many decisions. Well, it's better than not having any choice. Isn't it? So choice is a good thing. It's a good thing. So God made it where Adam and Eve would have a choice. And he did that on purpose, because that's true freedom. And it's really... That's what proves people. If people love you because they love you, then that's a great thing. When you're forced to do something, then it's not really love. If you make somebody love you, you can't do that. You can make somebody serve you. You can force people to do things. But you can't force anybody to love you. You cannot. You can't make that happen. Because that's a choice. And God didn't rig the outcome. He didn't make the tree ugly. He didn't try to hide it. He put it out there prominently. And he said, you got a choice. It looks good. As good as the tree of life. It looks as good as all the other trees in the garden. It tastes good. Now, let me just say this today. Sin is fun. Don't tell people that sin's not any fun, because it is fun. If it was, people wouldn't do it. It is fun. It is, on the outward, it's attractive. Now, the end result is not. It brings condemnation. Often it brings shame and guilt. Sometimes it brings fear, and it causes us to be disappointed in ourselves that we took a low road to the high road. But like that original tree, it looks good, and in its first bite, it's pleasant. But it was after the first bite that it got unpleasant. Amen. So the Bible says that Eve was deceived. Genesis 3 speaks of a serpent. It said the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field which the Lord God had made. More subtle. What does the word subtle mean? Well, he was convincing. He was, I suppose, sly. And he was able to be persuasive. And he was very, very intelligent. Now, the Bible says the serpent was a beast, whatever that means, and he's a beast of a field. What I assume from this is that originally the serpent was not what we see today. He was not like the serpent that we know now. It appears that he was the field. He wasn't crawling at that time. Of course, there was no fear in the Garden of Eden. Eve didn't have any fear of anything, neither did Adam, because this was before sin. There wasn't any fear. There was no intimidation. Just good existed. But anyway, Satan used this creature, whatever it was, to begin to tempt Eve and to actually deceive her. Now, listen to his question. So the serpent says to Eve, he said, did God say that you could not eat of every tree? He knew the answer. But he got her to thinking about the one thing that was forbidden. Out of all the trees, thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of trees, billions of trees, that they had the choice to eat. He focused on one tree. Satan always does. He always focuses on the forbidden thing, the one thing you're not supposed to do. Isn't that right? The one thing that you're not supposed to do. That's what he focused on. Out of all things you can do, he focuses on the one thing you can't do, or not supposed to do. It's not that you can't, it's just that you're not supposed to, because it's going to have some bad consequences if you do. And so he thought that one forbidden thing, and then he says, listen, he said, and of course Eve's answer, she said, no, we can eat of all the trees except for that one tree. And if we touch that tree, or we eat that tree, or we even touch that tree, we'll die. Now, she did a little editing there, didn't she? She added something to the Word of God. It's always dangerous to do that. Try not to add anything to the Word of God. Let it stand on its own. She added to it. She said, or touch it. Now, God didn't say anything about touch it. That's a good idea. Amen. You know, the longer you hang around and the more familiar you get with something, the more likely you are to partake. But nonetheless, maybe Adam added that. I don't know where she got the idea about the touching the tree. But she did add that. God didn't say that originally. And then the devil then says, he said, you won't surely die. And then listen, he adds this one little thing. He says, God knows that in the day that you of that tree, you'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. And he just planted that little seed. And that's all he did. And Eve went away from there thinking, well, huh. Well, now, I wonder what God's hiding here. I wonder why God doesn't want us to know good and evil. She didn't know what evil was. Just a word. Didn't mean anything. So she walks away with some about God. She walks away wondering, well, why would he withhold anything from us? Why would he forbid anything to us? That if he really loved us, would he do that? Well, let me just ask you a question. Are there things that you forbid your children? Why? Why won't you let your kids eat cockroaches if they want a cockroach? Why won't you let your kid drink gasoline if that's what they desire? Why don't you just hand them a fork and show them where the electric socket is? Huh? Why not? Why do you do that? Why wouldn't you? Why are you trying to limit your child's experiences? Why do you try to get your kids, and you don't want them to hang around certain people? Why do you forbid them to go to certain people's house? Why? Are you trying to limit them? Of course you are. We don't call it limit them, we call it protecting. God was trying to protect Adam and Eve. But of course they didn't know that. They had no way of understanding that. And they didn't. Amen. And so the Bible says that Eve was beguiled by the serpent. Amen. First or 2 Corinthians 11:3 said, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul was saying, use the word beguiled, that means to be deceived completely. And she was. She was completely deceived. He was so very skillful in what he did. And so, you know what happens. I don't know. I don't know if Eve was standing at the tree or if she was somewhere else. But I know one thing. She wound up at the tree. And she stood there. And her mind full of all these questions. She reaches out. She takes the fruit off the tree. And she eats of the tree. And immediately, she apparently felt pretty good. You know, oftentimes sin has a numbing effect. In its initial elation, you don't get the full effect of what sin's going to be. It has to wear off, that elation of doing something forbidden. But once that all happens and the darkness sets in and the pleasure's passed, and now it's just you and your memory and your thoughts, that's when it sets in. And Eve, and in her elation, turned around to Adam and said, honey, you gotta try this. That's interesting, isn't it? Now what's Adam to do? What's Adam thinking? Was Adam there at the tree or did she hunt him down? I don't know. But if Adam was at the tree, why did he let her eat the fruit? Why did he knock it out of her hand or do something? I don't know if he was there. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he wasn't at the tree at all. She may have had to hunt him down somewhere else in the garden, running over there with that fruit in her hand. Juice dripping off of her chin, saying, honey, this is good. You got to try this. Well, what's that from? You know that tree God said we couldn't eat of? This is good. For whatever reason, I don't know why Adam ate. I don't know. I know that the things, Eve was deceived, but Adam just simply disobeyed. Eve heard from Adam that she couldn't eat the tree. Adam heard from God not to eat the tree. So Adam outright disobeyed God when he ate the fruit. I don't know what happened, but I do know that Adam ate for whatever reason. He did eat the tree. And he wasn't supposed to, I don't know why he did it, but he did it. The Bible said that sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. And then what God said in the beginning, he said, eat the tree, you're going to die. Amen. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death, according to Romans. And that's true. Anybody know anybody that has always lived and never died? Nope. Amen. The only person that in the Bible that we know about that didn't die was Enoch. And that's because God translated him. That's the only one. Everybody else, out of the multiplied at least billions of people that have lived on the face of the earth, only one didn't taste death. So sin brings death. Sin brings a severed relationship with God. Amen. And I think of all the things that happened to Adam, the one he missed the most was being able to the presence of God and be comfortable in the presence of God, to enjoy the presence of God. Now, we have that privilege today. Isn't that beautiful? The book of us, we are made to sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Anybody know what that's like? You ever get in those heavenly places? Amen. And just want to go home, you don't even come back. Praise the Lord, because it's so beautiful, so rather than being lost in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it's such a beautiful fit with the presence of God, and we're enjoying that so very much. We have that privilege. Adam had that. Eve experienced that. But they didn't know how precious until it was gone. Amen. And then after they lost it, they realized how precious it was. Did you know Adam and Eve, in the book of Genesis, we never see where they ever repented. They never did. When God came to Adam and Eve, and he you know, come down the cool of the day, and he finds Adam, and he said, Adam, he said, what have you done? Adam, you know what he said? He didn't say, oh God, I'm so sorry. No, he didn't do that. He said, you know that woman you gave me? It's your fault. If you wouldn't have given that woman to me, everything would have been all right. She's the cause for this whole thing. She did it. I wouldn't have done it if she hadn't brought the fruit to him. It's her fault. Well, Eve, it was a snake's fault. He's the one to it. And the poor snake didn't even blame anybody. He just caught the brunt of the whole thing. But it's human. And around. So many, as soon as you bring an accusation, they immediately start making excuses. Immediate excuse. Some people make excuses before they even. I mean, they got an excuse. Never seen. They've already got. They've already got out. I say this today, and I say that with humor, but be careful. Be careful when you start plotting things and you start finding too much fault. It may be that you're getting an excuse. And you be careful. When you start finding fault with people, and can read, you care. You watch out on your own. Already make an excuse. So you'll be able to blame something rather than yourself. I've seen that happen untold numbers of times. So be very careful about that. When you find yourself falling into that trap, you immediately recognize where you are and say, we're not going down this road. Amen. Oh, no. I'm not gay. I know where that's going to get me. And you immediately recognize it. And you change your thinking. Say, well, we're not going to do that. The Bible then says that God made the coats to cover their nakedness. Now, it's interesting in the Genesis. There's two words. The Bible says that Adam and Eve made aprons. And God made coats. God was not satisfied with their covering. Number one, it didn't cover enough. There's a lot of that going on today. Don't cover enough. The second thing is there was no bloodshed. A fig leaf will cover the physical body, but it can't cover the soul. So God slew an animal and took its skin and made garments, coats for them. And it was as much for him as it was for them. God covered them. Isn't it amazing that they didn't even know they were naked until they sinned? Because there was no shame. There was no lust. There was no sin. There exists a purity that's beyond anything that you and I know anything about. There's a place that you can be so pure that nakedness means nothing. Wow. We've never been there. But by God's grace, someday, I want to be that pure. And so, God covered their nakedness, and then with His blood, He rolled ahead their sin. God already had a plan. We were studying about that last week, didn't we? Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. So God already had a plan for that. And in time, that came to pass. Amen. And death did reign, did it not? Death did reign. Amen. And it still does. It's still around. Death is separation. First of all, it's separation of works, or faith from works. It's a separation of the body from spirit, of a person from fellowship with God. That's what death does. It's a horrible separation. Amen. You know what judgment really is going to be? It's just simply going to be separation. How many love light today? Then you need to love Jesus Christ. How many love life today? Then you need to love Jesus Christ. Amen. How many love peace today? Then you need to love Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus is the opposite of what will not be in hell. So all it's simply going to be, God is simply going to separate what is His and what is righteous from what is not His. That's just going to be that simple. Amen. Those that choose to live without God in some time will have to choose to live without what God is. Right now, people are enjoying the benefits of God without enjoying God Himself. But there will come a time when God's going to say, okay, you don't want me, then I'm going to separate what is mine and you can have what's left. And what's left will be darkness. And what's left will be torment. And what's left will be eternal guilt without remedy. Because God's simply going to separate two worlds. And He's going to take what's His own. And I want to go with that one. Amen. And be a part of His kingdom. Amen. The Bible said that by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So death did reign for, and still does for that matter. It still does. Bildad, one of Job's comforters, he called it the king of terrors. And a lot of people are fearful of death. Most people are fearful of death. It's not uncommon for people to be afraid. I remember my brother, he lived in fear of death. When he was little, I remember him asking my mom, he'd get a cold, you know, and start feeling bad, and said, Mom, am I going to die? Well, son, not right now. But he always had that fear. People do. Fear of death. It's very real. Because it is so very final. And it's the great mystery that we know nothing about. And so it is the result of sin. And you know, God has a plan and a purpose for that. I'll be real honest with you. I don't want to live forever like this. Life has its moments. But listen, they're moments. By and large, life's kind of daily. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot more work in life than pleasure. That's right. There's not that many moments of just ecstasy in life. Most life's just pretty grinding. Is that right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Especially you get older, you know. Things don't work like they did. First thing you do when you get out of bed, start checking things if it still works. Eyes open, yeah, it works. Thank the Lord. Amen. Hearing's still pretty good. Amen. Smell. That's where we're working all right. Amen. Some of us don't smell good, but I've had a lot of allergies, so my smeller don't work very good. But then you know, then you kind of sit up a little bit, and that works pretty good. You know, that's the process. And I don't want to live like this forever. Amen. So thank God there is a thing called death, so that I can get rid of this body of sin. Hallelujah. Amen. I can put on a new body. Huh? That's raised in His likeness. Not powered by flawed blood, but will be powered by the purity of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm looking forward to that body. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, the reign of death, it's a real thing. Been around a long time. About 60 million people die every year 150,000 people a day. That's a lot of folks. Amen. But there is a promise of redemption, isn't there? Amen. Adam's sin brought a curse. It brought separation from God. Amen. In Genesis chapter 15, or chapter 3 and verse 15, God gives these things. Let's look at that verse very carefully for a moment. First of all, the Lord said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Most women don't like snakes. Amen. This really is not talking about a snake. Actually, the Lord's talking to the devil here. And he said, enmity means war. Opposite. And between thy seed and her seed. And then he said, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Amen. Now, I don't like bruises, but if I have a choice, I'd rather have my heel bruised than my head. Because if there's a heel that's bruising my head, that means it's above me, and I'm underneath, getting the business end of the stomping. I'd a whole lot rather give the stomping than be the beneficiary of the stomping. And so that's what he said. What he's talking about here is lordship. He's talking about a victory. Amen. He's talking about one being defeated and the other being victorious. And so that's what it is. And so he's saying the seed of the woman, which is just humanity. Amen. All of us are the seed of a woman. We all came from our mother's womb. Each one of us came into the world the same way. Yes, we did. And then the defeat of the serpent. Amen. The Lord said to the serpent, he said, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, beasts of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And indeed, that's what happened. You see an old snake, he's just crawling around on the ground, eating dust, sticking his tongue out, got his little beady eyes. Amen. So I don't know what the serpent was before the fall, but I know what he was after. He became something that most people despise. Amen. And then he talked about this bruised heel. Now, when Jesus came, he did suffer a bruise, didn't he? He suffered death. But for him, death was not fatal. He's the only one. I said this, I think Wednesday night, that Adam and Eve lost the battle in a flesh body, in a human body. When God came to restore victory, he came in another human body, just like Adam and Eve. And he said, it's time for round two. Amen. Adam failed in a body. God manifests himself in a human body. And he said, all right, let's do it again. Amen. And he came. And he fought against sin. The Bible said that he was tempted. Everybody say he was tempted. Say it like you mean it. He was tempted. He was tempted in all points like as we are. Yes, he was. Satan assailed him. Satan tempted him. He did everything he could to trip him up. But the Bible said, yet without sin. Not one time did he ever fail. He never told a lie. He never took anything that was not his. He was never disrespectful. He never gossiped. He did nothing wrong. In all of his days, he lived a perfect and sinless life. Amen. He battled the devil in a human body. Amen. And then Satan thought, well, you know what? I'll kill him. I'll put an end to it. And that's where he fell into the trap. That was God's plan all along. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he did, didn't he? He killed him. He nailed him to a cross. Amen. And just about the time that hell was ready to party, amen, he realized his fatal mistake. Jesus did not go to hell or to the grave or to Hades, if you will, the abode of the dead. He did not go there as a defeated foe. He went there as the Lord of life. Amen. The Bible said, one of the Psalms talks about it. It said, be lift up, ye gates, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, great and mighty. Amen. It's talking about Jesus when he went to the grave and he walked among the dead. Amen. And he separated the righteous from the unrighteous. Hallelujah. And when he came out of the grave, the Bible said many saints got up out of their graves and walked around. Yes, they did. Amen. It was the power of Jesus' resurrection. And he resurrected with the keys to death and to hell and to the grave. The songwriter had it right. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear the trumpet sound, I'm gonna get up out of the ground, because there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Once you get the power of the Holy Ghost, there's not any grave going to hold you. Amen. If the Spirit that dwelt in Christ dwell also in your mortal body, it shall quicken or make you alive. Amen. All the saints, where are they, Brother Grissom? Well, the Bible says they're sleeping in Jesus. You know what my mom and daddy used to tell me when we took a trip? You know, we'd just get to the city limits, and I'd say, we're there yet? Not quite. Amen. We'd ride another 30 minutes. Are we there yet? Oh, no. And Mama, so sweet and so wise, she'd say, now, Johnny, if you'll just take a nap, when you wake up, we'll be there. Amen. And it was hard to go to sleep because we're excited about going. But if I could ever get to sleep, when I'd wake up, we'd be closer at least. Amen. And that's what sleep is. You know, when you're sleeping, you know what's going on. You have no consciousness of time. And so those that are sleeping, Jesus, you know, Paul and Peter and James and John, all the apostles, they've been sleeping now for nearly 2,000 years. But one of these days they're going to open their eyes. It's going to seem like it's just they close their eyes and now they open them up. And they don't know 2,000 years has passed. Amen. Death's defeated, folks. Sin is defeated. Jesus came to conquer all of that. Amen. He came to make an end to death. That's why Paul wrote, he said, death is swallowed up in victory. Didn't he? Oh, grave, where's your victory? Oh, death, where's your sting? Death is followed up in victory. That's what the Lord came to do, and that's exactly what he did. Amen. And he came to defeat sin in the flesh. Praise God. That's what the resurrection is all about, folks. Amen. I'm excited about that today. I know this is not Easter, but you can't hardly celebrate one without the other. You know, I can't hardly talk about Christmas without talking about the cross. I know it's the birthday of Jesus, but I know why he came too. His purpose was to get us out of this mess. And the greatest gift that any person can experience is the salvation that Jesus Christ bought for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know why the Lord came? Look at this. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You know why Jesus came? There it is right there. He came to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he's here. Amen. How did he do that? By his death, his burial, and his resurrection. What Adam lost in the Garden of Eden, you can have right here at this altar this morning. The nature that he lost, the spiritual nature, the fellowship with God, that Adam lost in the Garden of Eden, you can have right here today because the Holy Ghost is here. And that's what he lost. He lost that spiritual fellowship that God had with man. Amen. And God restored that. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came, he restored everything that Adam lost. And you can have that today. Praise the Lord. Amen. God wants us to have that today. And it's ours if we'll just receive it. Let's stand together. Amen. God's good, isn't He? His heel was bruised. Amen. But He crushed the head of the serpent. Amen. Praise the Lord. I grew up in the country. Didn't have a lot of things to do. So when I'd get home from school, the first thing I'd do is I'd go out in the field and I would hunt. I like to hunt. And I'd go hunting. And sometimes I'd run across a snake. And I could never leave them alone. Amen. And I didn't want to shoot them. I wanted to catch them. I don't know why, I just did. And so I would find a stick or something, and I'd go up to that old snake, and I'd put that on his head, and I'd hold his head down. And then I'd reach down there, and I'd get him right behind the head. Amen. I'd pick him up. And I'd get my other hand, and I'd stretch his tail out. You know, I learned the hard way that if you don't get his tail and stretch him out, he'll wrap around your arm. And they can pull that head out of your hand. I don't recommend anybody doing this, but if you're going to do it, this is how you do it. and I'd hold him right behind his head. And you get a good grip. And as long as you hold him behind his head, he can't do anything but stick his tongue out at you. That's all he can do. Amen. But you got to control that head. Because that's where the trouble is. When Jesus came, he didn't step on his tail. He crushed his head. He didn't step in the middle. He stepped on his head. That's the business end. And he destroyed the head. And if you can destroy the head, you can get rid of the rest of him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad today that his heel was bruised, but he crushed the head of the serpent? Amen. He won a victory for us that we could not win for ourselves. Amen. And we have that victory today. Praise the Lord. Hey, let's give the Lord thanks right now, shall we? Would you lift up your voice right now and just begin to praise the Lord for the victory that He's given to the church. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name.
And there is power.
Power, wonder-working power.
There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. The human daily his praises to sing. There's wonderful power in the blood. And there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
And
there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
In the
precious
the Lamb.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Do you know about that power yet today? Yes,
yeah.
If you don't know it, you can have it before we leave here.
Yeah.
That's right. There's power in that blood. We were talking about that this morning, my wife and I, and I don't know why, but it just came up about how we're covered in the blood. And when we're covered in the blood, we have authority in that blood because that's Jesus in us. You know, there's people that go around with their own authority that they think they have, and they go around trying to rebuke this and rebuke that. They have no authority. It's only in the blood that we have that authority. It's only in Christ Jesus. When the angel went and contended for Moses' body, he said, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. And you know what? When you do it in the name of the Lord, you got that power.
Yes.
You got that power.
Amen.
It's that wonder-working power. Y'all may be seated for a time. For a time. It's good to be back here today. We wish to welcome everyone here. Thank you for being here to worship with us today. I'd like to ask a question. Has there been any birthdays this week? Is any next week? Everyone right back there. All right, I knew there was one come. You know, we had one, what long ago Brother Philip had a birthday? He getting old. Yeah, he is. When I came here, he was still a young man, still in school. Now he's out working, he getting old. My. Any anniversaries? Oh, any anniversaries coming up soon? No, all right. But you know, that's a good thing too. Anniversaries are almost as good as a birthday. Maybe a little better. I don't know. My wife says it's better. But anyway, we know about the power. We thank you, each and everyone, for being here. The power can be yours. It's ours. It's here. It's here today. Let's have some of that power.
Thank God for the blood.
Thank God for the blood.
Thank God.
Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord saved me.
And I'm so glad that the Lord saved me.
I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord saved me.
Well, he saved me.
Yes, he did.
He saved
oh,
me.
I know it.
He saved me.
Yes, he did.
And if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be?
I'm so glad that the Lord saved me.
Oh, and I'm so glad that Jesus lived in me.
Yes, I'm so glad that my Jesus lived in me.
Hey, I'm so glad that Jesus lived in me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lived in me. And I'm so glad that Jesus lived in me.
Yes, I'm so glad that Jesus lived in me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lived in me.
And Satan had me bound.
Yeah, but Jesus lived in me. I said Satan had me bound. Oh, but Jesus lived in me.
Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free.
Oh, glory, hallelujah, Jesus lived in me.
Sing about the God. We sing about lessons. You know what? We've got something to sing about today.
Yeah.
Did you know something? Everything we sang this morning, hey, we had something to say. Come on. Woo. We got a song the angels can't sing.
Amen.
Did you know that? He taught about this morning. We got a song that the angels can't even sing it. No, sir. I'm going to tell you what. I get to sing this song as often as I want to. You know, I want too often. Praise God. It's a good thing. I've got a good thing here today. Woo! And you know, I feel sorry for those that don't want to sing that song with me. Woo! He talked about choices this morning. We can make choices, but it's not a choice if you don't have the freedom to make a bad choice too. Oh, it's up to us to get the gospel out there and get these thoughts down. We got to get these people to making good choices. It's up to us right here today, each and every one of us. Woo! We want them to sing that song with us. Woo! I'm going to tell you what, I got something. The world can't give. I've said it before. The world can't take. And I'm not going to give it up. I will not give it up. I will not give it up. I'm going to keep it.
Amen.
I'll share with the world. Give them the opportunity to make a right choice. But I'm going to keep what he's given me. Woo! He bruised his head. I so thank our pastor for being honest and straightforward and trustworthy. You can listen to him preach and teach, and he's going to tell you truth. You're going to hear truth. Why would you want anything else? Why would you want? Don't tickle my ear. Tell me truth. I want to know. Oh, God, it's so good. I think I'm just having so much fun. I can't say. Let's do one more song. Let's do that. Yes. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, and once like the bird in prison, I dwell.
No freedom from my sorrow.
sin and thing that confounds. Not of this world shall turn me around.
Yeah.
Daily I'm worshiping. Jesus set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Hey, I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Oh, glory to God, He set me free.
And now I am climbing higher,
He said. I said darkness of night has drifted away. Glory to God, I'm homeward bound. Cause He set me free. Yeah, my Jesus set me free. He broke the bond of prison for me. Hey, I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see.
Yeah.
Glory to God, He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I am glory bound, my Jesus to see.
Yeah,
glory to God, He set me free.
Oh, and glory
to God, He set me free.
Oh, thank you, Jesus, for setting me free today. Oh, we give you honor and glory and praise, oh God. Thank you, oh Lord, for all you've done for us. Oh, help us to continuously give you the praise, oh Lord. Thank you for setting us free, oh God. You know, we were bound, weren't we? We were bound. Yeah, we're not bound no more. We're not bound anymore. We've been set free. Praise God. Praise God. I'm so thankful for it. You know that lesson we heard this morning? I get excited every time I hear it. I get excited every time I go back and read it. That is something, isn't it? We have freedom now. We've been set free. It's the blood of Jesus. Nothing else. Nothing else but the blood of Jesus. And you know, we can go on and on and on singing about the blood of Jesus all day, and it won't do nothing but get me more excited. Until I get so tired, I have to lay down and sleep. Now I get up and sing it some more.
Yeah.
All right? I'm saying I can't help it. I just get excited about the blood of Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. We're going to take this time to put our prayer request up. I hope you're ready, brother. If you're not, we're going to put them up anyway. I knew he was ready. I wouldn't have said that. Praise the Lord. We have a lot of people in the hospital. We have some folks that are sick. We know that we have some that didn't make it to this list. And we're going to ask those that didn't make their request known on this list to lift your hand. I'm not asking you to say it out loud. We don't have time for that. We've gathered up way too much time. But let's lift our hands if you got something that you need us to pray about. I'm going to tell you why. We have a prayer answering God. Oh, we have a God that hears our cry. He hears our needs. He wants to do something for us. Let's take all these needs right now. You know, we've got people missing in this service today that should be here. Oh, but they're sick, and they're really in bad shape, some of them. Some of them getting worse by the day. We want the Lord to ease their pain. We want the Lord to take a hold of all these names that are up there and those that are on your hearts and lift them up. So let's just lift both hands right now and give God the glory and the praise and ask Him to do what He said He'd do. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. We thank you, Lord, for all that you will.
How we love you, Lord. How we love you. How we love you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Oh, in your name we pray. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, he touched me.
Me.
so thankful for the touch of the Master's hand. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, if we could just stay in the mood of the Spirit that we feel about us right now. You may be seated. And while we think on the glories and the mercies and the wonderful touch of Jesus, oh, let us remember the service this afternoon in Canton. Back to the service here tonight. Prayer at 5:30, and you know that's a very important part of the service. Prayer here at 5:30. If you can be here at 5:30, be here. If you need a ride to come here at 5:30, call. I'll come and get you. Or I'll send my wife. But somebody come and get you. Being here at 5:30, prayer is important. Service at 6.
Prayer is important. Amen.
We have prayer service Wednesday. We have Spanish Express Thursday. There's so much going on this week. I'm going to ask Sister Grissom to tell us about some of it, if she would, please.
Oh, you're so good, Charles.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
It's good to see you this morning. We have a good service going on here, and over at the children's department at the annex, they have their children's banquet today. So a lot of your kids and grandkids and a lot of our kids are over there. Because my kid is here, but our church kids are over there, and hopefully having a great time. We used to do chicken dinners for them, and we found out they were wasting the chicken, so we decided to do pizza. So we do pizza banquet, Christmas banquet for the kids, and they don't waste that. In fact, we can't hardly give them enough, but anyway, they're having a great time over there. We appreciate Brother and Sister Neil getting that together. I'm up here for a few different announcements. We have a ladies' ensemble going to sing tonight. We have a 4:30 practice. Wear red and black, and we're going to give you a treat or a treatment. We hope it's a treat tonight. We're practicing a Christmas song to sing tonight. And we also, I was going to mention this because I didn't get her on the prayer list, but Sister Vicki Looney said she's very, very sick today, so later on, keep her in prayer, if you will.
Amen.
And then we have a special service going on next Sunday night. We're still meeting here at church Sunday night, but we're going to have our service over in the annex. So let me repeat, next Sunday night, we're still having church, but we're going to do a special service over in the annex. And Brother Grissom named it Christmas Caroling Night. What we do is we sing a lot of songs. We have just a special time of singing. We have a list here. Only two people have signed up, but I don't get worried about it because once we get over there, different ones want to request songs. If you have a song, if you have a poem that you want to read about Christmas, or you have a skit, you want to read a Bible scripture about Christmas, let us know, or you can put it on this. We're going to send this around. We'll try to send it around tonight. Ushers, help us get this around tonight. And but we would like you to be a part of that. We're going to take instruments over there, and if you come early, you might help Brother Grissom with the instruments. But we would like you to sing and be involved. You can invite some friends. And we always like to eat, don't we? So our meal is going to be Mexican food. So what we'd like you to do, thank you. We'd like you to be thinking about the Mexican food, and we're going to be dependent on Sister Elsa and Brother Robbie. I don't know if they can, but anyway, it's okay if you can't. But they can sure fix the Mexican food. Let's clap for them. They've done that several times because they've done that in the past. They were nice, and if they can't, but we're all going to do it. We're not just going to put that on them, but we're just, you know, we know that she cooks good food. Brother Robbie cooks good food, and Brother Wesley. Brother Wesley's been cooking some good Mexican food. And so, anyway, some of the rest of us know kind of how to do it, too, even though we're gringos. We can cook, too.
Amen.
So we're going to let you bring your favorite Mexican dishes. If you don't know how to do Mexican food, hey, then sign up for a salad. How about a dessert? You can do a dessert. What if you don't know how to do Mexican food and you want to bring chicken? Bring fried chicken. I don't really care. Let's just eat and have fun. And he says what? It'll be Mexican fried chicken. We might have to put some peppers or hot sauce or something with it. But we want you to have fun. We've been doing this now probably the last 4 years, maybe, Brother Grissom, 5 years, maybe. And we've been having a good time. Yes, Brother Lozano. Mexican chicken? Woo, we're going to have Mexican chicken. Yay. I would like that. I love hot sauce. Now, did y'all hear about the story about Brother Grissom, what he did with my burrito? I think y'all heard that. But one time they had a contest going. Brother Bacon tricked us and had this contest going, and he made all this hot food. And they talked me into getting in the contest, and Sister Guidry, and we had to get up there with the best of them and eat a burrito, a really hot one. Well, I was actually full when they got me in the contest, which was kind of unfair because Brother Bacon ended up winning, but I only ate half of my burrito, and I could have eaten it all, but I said, man, I'm so full. They should have given it to me earlier. So I thought, I'm not wasting this thing. This is good. This is hot. So I wrapped it up. I put it in the fridge, and I went out to work, and Brother Grissom got it out, and he ate it. He started eating it. And he doesn't tolerate the hot. He was burning up for hours. I'm sorry, Brother Grissom, you have to watch what you eat in that fridge. Hey, at least it wasn't moldy. But anyway, we have fun around here. And so if you're not able to bring anything, then just come. And we always try to bring extra for guests, so bring some guests. And it is their chance to sing over there at the Annex if they want to sing. Then another thing we mentioned, we're going to, on Saturday, we're doing a ladies' shopping trip. We're going to take the van. And a lot of ladies at this time of year are having a hard time financially. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to Goodwill's. And so if you want to go to thrift stores and maybe bring a little money for gas for the van, and we can pitch in. And gas for food. No, that doesn't make sense. Food for gas. No. That doesn't make sense. How about bringing a little extra money so we can eat? I sound like Brother Fry now, don't I? Brother Fry's already, he's rubbing off on me now. But anyway, if you want to, we'll go to eat. If you don't have money, come on and we can split some meals. We'll do something. Maybe somebody out there would like to be a donor to help someone else go. But hey, let's just all go and have a good time. If you don't have money, come on anyway. We'll figure it out. We're going to probably go somewhere where they have chips and salsa so we can eat chips and salsa and split some meals. But anyway, then one other thing, Cherie, when we get back, Cherie's had on the list for quite a while, Christmas caroling. We're going to go to some shut-ins and a nursing home. So if you want a Christmas carol that night, is it at 6? Or?
Yeah, we're meeting here at 6 o'clock. If you can't make it here at 6 o'clock, you can just like text us or call or just be in touch with us. If you want to meet up with us somewhere, we'll let you know where we're going to wind up. And on Tuesday night, we're going to be practicing for that. So Tuesday at 7, we're going to practice our songs to sing. So.
Okay, so we have a full week. Tuesday at 7, we're practicing. Our first place we're going is a nursing home. At about 6:30, we're supposed to be singing at the nursing home. Which one is that? Nursing home?
Was it South Place?
Huh?
Was it South?
No, my dad will be there, and it's not a good idea.
Or South Place,
yeah,
the nursing home.
Yeah,
South Place.
That's what we're asking. South Place, is that in Malakoff?
7 and 8. No, South Place is in Athens.
Okay. Okay. Well, Cherie has that schedule. I'm sorry, I don't have the right names for everything, but she's going to have that. And I believe one more announcement, Brother Grissom may have some, but the youth are going to, maybe not just youth, but they're going to take a group. Brother Wesley, isn't that right? Friday night, aren't they taking a group to hear Brother Jeff Arnold?
Friday night,
Longview, if you want to hear Brother Jeff Arnold. And if you want to go in your own car, that's fine. Okay, thank y'all for bearing with me. We had a lot of announcements, and Sister Looney's sick, so I don't have the sheet on the food. I'm going to try to get Cherie to, I'm going to ask her again to get that one typed for me for tonight to sign up. But hey, even if we don't get to sign up, just bring what you can bring that has to do with Mexican food, okay? It's just sometimes if we sign up, we don't all bring the same thing, okay? We don't all just bring tea. We'll have some food that way. I'm just teasing. But seriously, I love y'all very much, and we're going to let Brother Fry have this again.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
We appreciate all the activities going on, and we really appreciate everybody's. Amen. participation. We'd like to take this time to worship. We're not giving. If the ushers would come, we sure appreciate each and every one of it, everything y'all have done. It seems a little bit less crowded in here today because all our youth are next door, but that's all right. We can still worship the Lord, can't we? Praise the Lord. Brother Lozano, would you ask a blessing over this, please?
Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. Lord, you see each and every one that's here. Lord, Lord, there's lots of needs. You know all of the needs that you have. Lord, Lord, you know each one here and what they have and what they don't. Lord, Lord, I ask this morning that you would just bless those in the healed, Lord, and those that don't. Lord, Lord, I ask that you bless Brother Chris as he brings our word, Lord, that our ears will be open to hear, to receive, and understand this morning. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Oh, I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing all my joys.
I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing till all the heavens ring when I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh, I can scarcely wait. I know I'll not be late, for I spend my time in prayer. And when my ship comes in, gonna leave this world of sin and go sailing through the air. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing until all the heavens ring when I'm bidding this world goodbye. And if you're ashamed of me, you have no cause to be, for with Christ I am an heir. If too much fault you find, you will sure be left behind while I go sing through the air. Yes, I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring when I'm bidding this world goodbye. When I'm bidding this world goodbye. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's all right to go. Amen. If you got somewhere good to go. And we're getting ready to go. Amen. We're going to leave this world.